front.
So are you, you're handling this pro bono, I assume? Yeah, well, we thank you for undertaking this defense. The next case for argument, NES Rentals versus Stein Cold Storage, Mr. Miller.
Good morning. My name is Calvert Miller, and I'm representing the NES appellants in this case. NES is before the court on the district court's rulings on cross motions for summary judgment. The cross motions for summary judgment addressed an indemnity clause between NES and Steiny for the rental of a 40-foot boom. NES is in the business of renting such equipment, and Steiny is a contractor that installs coolers. And Steiny's employee was killed in the accident involving NES's lift. NES is asking the court to vacate the district court's orders on the cross motion for summary judgment, one in favor of Steiny and one in against NES, with instructions to remand to enter judgment in favor of NES.
Could we start out by talking about more heating for a moment?
Exactly where I was going, Judge. Of course.
Maybe I should let you. But let me just, all right, maybe I can get to the bottom. Because under that case, it's not enough to state that negligence was covered. The clause, you know, has to also explicitly state that NES's own negligence is covered. And aren't you really seeking here in this case to modify that holding to provide that it's enough if it's implied that NES's own negligence is covered?
That's not the what we're attempting to demonstrate. Well, using more heating, Judge, and particularly the construction discussion that more heating provides us about a fair construction of the argument. And the more heating case, Judge, talks about specifically, I think the most telling excerpt is that each part of the clause of indemnity depends on the other, giving it meaning and to define its application. Each part of the indemnity clause necessarily refers to the other. So it's NES's contention that the district court did not provide NES's indemnity provision with a fair construction of the indemnity provision.
Yeah, but if you look at the clause, in relevant part, it provides that the customer agrees to identify the company for any and all injuries, damages, or loss, regardless of whether such injury, damage, or loss is caused in whole or in part by negligence which arise out of, result from, or relate to the use, operation, condition, or presence of equipment, except where such injury, damage, or loss is caused solely by the company. So the clause states that it covers negligence in a general sense, without specifying that includes the negligence of NES itself. And it seems to me that's precisely the type of general language that Moore Heating used as an example of an inadequate provision. Because it doesn't make it explicit that even the negligence of NES will be included.
Judge, the Moore, if you look closely, I know you have and will, at the Moore indemnity language, when the court determines in Moore that the unequivocal and clear language.
There's this additional provision in the Moore indemnity contract, mm-hmm. whether or not it is alleged that Huber mm-hmm. in any way contributed to the alleged wrongdoing. You don't have that in your indemnity.
You're right, Your Honor, but Moore also does not have, when the court determines that the clear and unequivocal language of the application of negligence also doesn't have the word negligence when the court determined that it unequivocally and clearly had an application of negligence, except for in the exception clause. So more through the fair construction.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Could you
it says
go back?
Whether or not it's alleged that Newber in any way contributed the alleged wrongdoing or is liable due to non-delegable duty. That certainly embraces negligence.
Moore's Yeah, that's the exception clause. That's exactly what I'm talking about. In Moore, when you
don't have a clause like that in your indemnity.
In the exception clause, it does not use the word negligence. In the body of the provision, when reading fairly the provisions together, as Moore suggests, it talks about indemnity for negligence. The Moore indemnity clause does
not. I don't know what you're saying. Are you drawing a distinction between alleged wrongdoing and negligence, or what?
I'm just saying simply, outside the exception clause in Moore, they haven't used the word negligence, but yet the court determined that the fair reading, those were words of negligence, and therefore they agreed that it was an application of negligence.
But you need explicit words. You are actually seeming to agree with us.
No, I'm not seeking to do that at all.
I know.
I'm not seeking to do that at all, Judge. I'm merely saying that because, as Steine has indicated in its brief and has conceded, that it's not disputed that the NES indemnification clause applies to the area of negligence, that NES's exception clause is explicit enough to demonstrate that Steine was not indemnifying NES for its sole negligence.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding your argument. Because NES, you want to read the presence of the exception, which applies where injury is caused solely by NES, to mean indemnification clearly applies where NES is not the sole cause.
That's correct.
And that is not specific or an explicit indication of intent to indemnify NES for NES's own negligence.
It's NES's contention, Judge. When you look at Moore Heating, particularly the court, you've emphasized it, the district court emphasized it.
But you don't give any weight to this expression I've now read twice, whether or not it is alleged that Huber in any way contribute to alleged wrongdoing. That's very strong. Here there's an ambiguity. It says, except where such injury, damage, or loss is caused solely by the company. Does that mean that's the complete injury, the complete damage or loss, or some component that's caused by the company?
Any loss, including losses established by the sole negligence. The Moore Heating case stands for the proposition that you cannot or should not, under a fair construction of the argument, single out any particular sentence. And when reading the entire indemnity provision, you'll see that its application is to negligence, as Steine concedes, and that
why don't you use the language in Moore? Well, you ought to use construed language. That's what a sensible insurance company or indemnity does. Use language that's been construed by a court, plug that in, then you don't get into fights over the scope of the indemnity clause.
And I couldn't agree more, Judge, that it doesn't have the exact same language that New York Central does. It doesn't have the exact same language as Moore.
Well, I'm asking you the question. Why doesn't the indemnity use language that a court has construed?
Because it decided, I didn't draft it. I'm not sure I can answer that. That's not in the record, Your Honor. But when you look at Moore, and you do what Moore suggests it does, and provide a fair reading of the entire provision, then when NES is getting exception for anything other than it's solely caused, because that provision, as Steine has conceded, is one that has application to negligence, that is explicit enough under Indiana case law to result in a finding that Steine agreed to indemnify NES for its own negligence other than that was solely caused by
NES. Well, I'll tell you my problem, and my problem is that, for me, the language is simply not clear enough to require indemnification, particularly because courts disfavor such indemnification clauses in general.
I mean, what if a court applying, comparative negligence found that NES was 95% responsible for the injury and Stein 5%. So you'd argue that nevertheless Stein would have to indemnify the full.
That's correct. That's what Stein bargained for in the agreement.
Well, if you want to do something, as I say, you ought to use construed language. The Moore language was so clear. In any way contributed to the alleged wrongdoing. That would mean if Stein had contributed like 1%, that NES would be fully reimbursed. It just, seems somewhat implausible. And you had this language in Moore that you could have, not, I mean you personally, but that your client could have used.
Well,
you're not arguing, are you, that the clause says anything about coverage in cases of partial responsibility, are you?
Yes, of course. It does address concurrent responsibilities because it requires Steine to indemnify NES for everything other than it's something caused by its sole cause or fault.
Your argument is that that clause is unequivocal.
My argument is that Moore provides the basis for determining when you consider the entire provision.
Moore has this language, which you don't have. That's the difference.
I concede that, Your Honor, but Moore also talks about the framework.
It's a very serious concession.
My point is simply that the Moore court and that decision leaves the decision in the manner in which to review the provision is to consider all its component parts, and what the district court judge has done is singling out certain sentences. When you read it as a whole, then it is clear enough and explicit enough to result in Steine's agreement to indemnify NAS. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank
Mr.
You.
Williams?
May it please the Court, my name is Andrew Williams, and I represent Steine Cold Storage, Incorporated. I would like to address two points here. The first point that I'd like to address is the indemnification clause and the insufficiency of the indemnification clause under Indiana law. And the second thing that I'd like to address is the waiver of the defense cost argument that NES made in their brief. Beginning first with the indemnity clause, Indiana's appellate courts have not been called on to analyze the precise language at issue in this particular indemnification clause. Therefore, we have to look at what the Indiana courts have said, and I believe...
Is this a standard clause, or was it just drafted for this contract? Or?
It was my understanding is it was a standard clause, Your Honor, on a form. It was a form that NES used in more than one state. Now,
I don't mean whether NES uses it in other contracts, but is this some standard thing that you find in a form book or instructions on indemnity?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor, and if it were in an Indiana form book, I think that there would be a lot of folks that would have a problem with that because it's just not sufficient. This type of clause does not, under Indiana law, require indemnification for one's own negligence. It simply is not there. The Indiana appellate courts have clearly said...
And what does except where such injury, etc., is caused solely mean? I mean, there is an implication there that means that partial injury is indemnified.
And, Your Honor, there may be an implication there, but that's not sufficient under Indiana law. Under Indiana law, it has to be express, it has to be clear, and it has to be unequivocal. And it is not in this indemnification clause. There are many ways that it could have been drafted which would have comported with Indiana law. And as the court has mentioned in discussing the Moore Heating versus Huber Hunt and Nichols case, when you look at that language, it's different. It is different than the language that we have here in this indemnification clause in NES's rental agreement. And the court, this court has pointed out the language that is missing.
Why is there such hostility to these indemnity clauses?
Your Honor, I would guess that the reason there is such hostility to these indemnity clauses is because it creates or could create the wrong motive for folks. It could cause a situation where perhaps, in this case, someone's renting equipment is not as careful as they would be because they know somebody else is going to have to pay for it if they aren't careful, that they're not going to have to accept that responsibility for payment for their actions and for their negligence.
Where is the court?
I'm sorry?
I liked the language in Moore, a harsh burden.
But that's, yes. Of course, that's true with all insurance, right? It's just a form of insurance. It's called moral hazard. If you're insured, you're less careful.
But if you're paying for the insurance, and you know that your insurance rates are going to be affected by the number of judgments that you have against yourself, there certainly is that incentive there to be more careful because you don't want to have to pay higher premiums at some point later on.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Now, as the district court pointed out, and I think the district court's decision turned on this point, and that is that the whole argument that's being made by NES is that indemnification of NES for its own negligence is implied, and that is not sufficient. It has to be explicit. There is no exception to that. And the cases that have been decided in which the court has found that there is to be indemnification for an indemnity's own negligence, cases such as Moore Heating and also the GKN case, you look at the language of those indemnification clauses, and it is clear. There is a reference made in there in the body of the indemnification clause to the negligence of the indemnity. The indemnity is specifically listed in those clauses. And
now, what was the other issue you wanted to discuss?
The other issue, I'm sorry, Your Honor, the other issue was the waiver of the defense cost argument. NES had two opportunities before the district court to make this argument that they are entitled to defense costs because they will incur defense costs in proving that someone else was responsible for this accident. That argument was never made before the district court. It wasn't made in their brief in opposition to our motion for summary judgment. It was not made in their brief in support of their motion for partial summary judgment. And because it was not made, it's waived. Your Honor, if there are no additional questions, we respectfully request that the court affirm the district court's decision granting summary judgment for Steiny and denying NES's motion for partial summary judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Well, Mr. Miller, your time has expired, but you can have another minute.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, and NES respectfully, judges in the district court, Moore Heating is not a form. Moore Heating is guidance. Moore Heating then provides the court with a framework by which it can consider the indemnity provisions to determine whether it is explicit enough when reading the entire content or context, each of the lines and sentences, and that's why NES believes that it is clear and unequivocal and explicit enough under Moore, despite the fact it doesn't follow the Moore form that the court has alluded to. With respect to the waiver, judges, NES did raise the argument of its the costs and fees and associated with being involved in a multi-party lawsuit with other defendants, having to travel other places to participate in the claims that were being advanced against Walmart, against Walton Construction, against Hanson Rice. Those issues were in the complaint. Those issues were in the letter we tendered to Steiny. Those issues were in the relief sought by NES in its briefing, both on the cross motions for summary judgment. So the issue has never been waived. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case for argument, Parrish.